I don't know. I really hope that all of you are taking a moment to look at the scripture that we've been reading in 1 John. And I want you to, I hope that you do it in such a way that maybe you sit down somewhere and imagine dear old John, Grandfather John, probably in his 90s. It's sort of thought that he wrote this maybe 60 years after Jesus had died. And I want you to picture just the sort of the kindliest old grandpa you can imagine sitting there across from you, and he's maybe in his rocking chair and he's sort of, you know, moving back and forth, and he says, I want to tell you these important things. You know, John had been a pastor in churches and going around and leading in the church for 50, 60 years. So he's got some insight. He's got some wisdom, and he wants to tell these young people, and probably, you know, a group like us, a mixed group of younger and older people who are gathered around, and he's seen it all. He's seen them all. And he's seen the people that are coming and trying to come into the church to change it, to make it in their own image, not in the image of Christ. Because in those early years, there were lots of people, the Gnostics, we've sort of talked about them, you've heard about them. They were the people who, it comes from the Greek word gnosis, G-N-O-S-I-S, sort of kind of word, silent G at the beginning. And they were the kind of people that would say, you know what, we've got this secret message, and we are the ones that really know what God is about. And they would come in and they would sort of come into churches and they were misled, and they would come in and they would try to lead people off in a funny direction, or they would say, "You, in order for you to really know this stuff, you need to come to me because I've got the inside track on it. I have the wisdom and the knowledge." And so John had seen these guys. He had seen these people come. And he's sort of sitting in his rocking chair looking at us and saying, now I want to tell you. I want to tell you what's really important. Because you know there's going to be other people that will come. But as John, as we read in the first part of John's letter, he's saying, you know what? And you know why I say this? Because I saw, I touched, I heard, I walked with, I was with Jesus. So I really know what this is about. It's not somebody who sort of stumbled into some good information and has decided to write a book and he's made it onto Oprah to tell his tale and get a book deal going. I mean, he's somebody who really saw and walked with Jesus. In my mind, in my heart, that's profound. I mean, we've got an eyewitness testimony. And so this is what he says. This is what he says. He says, we know we have, and he's talking about people who can really lead you. People who are not these Gnostic leaders who come in. And so this is what he's warning the church about. And he's telling us, he's sitting there, he's saying, this is it. We know we have joined him, being Jesus, in an intimate relationship because we have the gnosis, we have the knowledge, we have the... No, because we live out his commands. If someone claims, I am in an intimate relationship with him, but this big talker doesn't live out his commands, then this individual is a liar and a stranger to the truth. But if someone responds to and obeys his word, then God's love has truly taken root and filled him. This is how we know we are in an intimate relationship with him. Anyone who says, I live in intimacy with him, should walk the path Jesus walked. My loved ones, in one sense, I'm not writing a new command for you. I'm only reminding you of an old command. It's a word you already know, a word that has existed from the beginning. However, in another sense, I am writing a new command for you. The new command is the truth that he lived. And now we are living, now you are living it too. Because the darkness is fading and the true light is already shining among you. anyone who says, I live in the light, but hates his brother or sister, is still living in the shadows. Anyone who loves his brother or sister lives in the light and will not trip because his conscience is clear. But anyone who hates his brother is in the darkness, stumbling around with no idea where he is going, blinded by the darkness. Wow. So there's these people that kept coming into the church and were telling people that they ought to live in a certain way, and John is challenging them. Look at their life. Are they living the way that Jesus said that they should live? Are they actually doing those things? Because that, in the end, becomes the test. People can talk a big talk, but it's whether they're willing to walk the walk. You know, that trite old saying. And he tells us in 1 John chapter 5, he says that this is the truth. God has given us the gift of eternal life, and this life is in his Son. If you have the Son, you have eternal life. If you don't have the Son, you are not acquainted with true life. And so we ask and we look at this, and John sort of gives us three quick checks about whether we really have the life. The first one, the first check that he gives us, he says, or we need to acknowledge that Jesus is the one true God. Jesus is God. Jesus is whom we worship. Jesus is the Lord. That's what he's saying. I mean, some of these other people that were coming in were talking about other things. They were adding things. They were, I mean, and that's why when you run into the sort of the cults of today, you see that they add something. You know, they had a prophetess or a prophet or somebody who wrote something extra, so that you have to do those things in plus to love Jesus. But John's saying, you know, that's not it. Jesus is the one true God. Period. The second thing that he said, this is a moral check. You want to check to see if you're really living your life as a Christian? Do you want to stop sinning? Do you want to stop sinning? And I'm not saying going out murdering people. I mean, none of us probably have done that. Maybe somebody has. I'm not sure, but I don't think so. Joe, are you all right? Yeah, great. So, but maybe there's something else in our life that we don't want to stop doing. And we're going to come and look at that in a minute. How about, do you love other Christians? Is there somebody who's a Christian that you say, I hate them. I don't love them. John is saying in this passage, and we're going to look at it, I'm sorry, you say you do that, you're still living in a lot of darkness. And sometimes we don't want to hear that. As I said last week, I wish I had one of those MMA cages around me, so that, not so that I could wrestle, but so that I could be protected, because I'm going to say some things today that might annoy you, that might trouble you, and I hope they do, because it's not good enough just to coast along. It's not good enough just to be sort of disciples that say, yeah, sometimes I do and sometimes I don't. That's not what Jesus called us to. He called us to commitment. He called us to life. So let's take a look at this. So it really comes down to, as you see on this slide, that it comes down to these three things. They're a little simplistic. But there's that theological check, there's that moral check, and there's the social check. And so you have to look at your life and you have to say, okay, so how am I doing? And I want today, I want you to do two things. I want you to evaluate your life. How are you doing in this area? Are you really a person that lives in the light? You know, probably in the world today, there's about 2 billion people who would claim to be Christians. And a number of them may not be, according to what John has to say. They may still be in the darkness. I mean, it's a nice thing to say that we're Christians. But if we continue to live in the darkness, we have to say, okay, so is that really where I am? Is that really where my heart is committed? And secondly, I want you to examine the people that you go to for counsel. When something happens in your life, who do you turn to? Are they godly Christians? Are they people of faith who can offer to you, that can offer to you something that God has to say? I want you to stop and not dump on them, but I want you to evaluate. Okay, so who are they? Are they people of faith who would speak into my life God's word? Or would they speak into my life a cultural word? And believe me, and as you know, there's a huge difference in that. So 1 John 2:3. We want to know, and we want to be sure that there's a certainty about our lives, and a certainty about this whole issue of, are we believers? Let's see if I can find it. And we want to be people who can be sure that today we live and we are believers, right? We want to know that. I mean, a lot of religious groups will say, well, you'll find out in the end. And you'll either come back as something better or you'll come back as a turkey kind of thing. And a lot of people are committed to that. But the fact is that as Christians, we can know today whether we've accepted Christ. We can be sure. And John is telling us that, and indicating that something happens in our lives. We come to the place of being willing to obey his commands. There's a change in our hearts, a change in the way we live, a change in the way we think. And so, I mean, a non-Christian doesn't want to hear what the Bible said. Have you ever talked to somebody and said, well, the Bible says, and they look at you and they, you know, their eyes glaze over or they cross and they don't want to hear anything about what God would say about a situation? There's an immediate response and they simply give you that impression, oh man, that's dumb. I have an excuse for why I live the way I do. I'm an exception to that rule. I don't have to live by that. In fact, I've got a better idea. I went to university and I've got a degree. I didn't attend public school, so I've got to step up on you. Or my friends and I, we voted on this and we think we can do it a different way. They always have some reason why they can live their life according to their understanding, other than just obedience to the scriptures. Do you remember them? You've met them. And that's not shocking when we think about it. Why would they want to follow what God has to say? When we look at that, and when we read the scriptures, and we think about what God has to say to us, and when we think that we disagree with it, there's only one conclusion that we can come to. And that is, we're wrong. We're wrong, because if we look at what God says and we say, well, I can't go along with that. I don't like that word. I don't like what he has to say to me. Who's the arbiter of that? Well, God is the one that said it. So who's wrong? I would say we're wrong. A loving and gracious God who gives us a command and a direction. And just think of the commands that and the directions that you read in the New Testament or in the whole Bible. That loving and gracious God gives you that command. He is choosing what's in your best interest. Wouldn't you say so? Let me put it this way. When Jesus died for you, for my sins and for your sins, that was in your best interest, not his. That was best for me, not him. When God does things for us, it's because he's a loving and good God. He's not a mean, vindictive boss who sort of sits up there and throws out orders for people. He's a loving, gracious God. And so if you know God and you hear his commands, your response could simply be, oh, good, God loves me. He knows everything about me and he says for me to do this. This must be a good thing to do. We know that we have come to know him if we obey his commands. The Heavenly Father says, this is the way it is. This is it. And we love him. He's a good God. He's great. We do what he says. We seek to obey him. And sometimes, have you ever had sometimes the Heavenly Father will give you a direction or you'll read a direction in his word and we look at it and it says to love. It says to forgive. His word says to confess. It says to be patient. And it says to trust God, and our minds go, this just doesn't make any sense to me. But you know what? God is wiser and kinder than any of us. And we can just simply say, I'm going to trust God on this one. I'm going to trust God. I need to trust God. Now, I don't know if you've ever run into these people. Sometimes there's people who say, yeah, you know, I mean, I know this Christian, right? Or maybe it's you, but I just don't obey God all the time. Or I have this Christian friend who, you know, who really seems like a good person, but they don't obey God all the time. You know, they sort of do whatever they want. And we sort of think, you know, there's two kinds of Christians, aren't there? I mean, there's the Christians who love and obey God, and then there's the Christians who don't obey Him. Well, actually, I want to tell you, no, there isn't. If someone claims, in verse 4, if someone claims to have an intimate relationship with Him. Oh, they're the person, you know, they've memorized a few verses. And maybe they've been in a ministry or two at times. Maybe they were in a group. Maybe they even led a study. They've done some nice things. And they say, of course I know Him. But John says, but this talker doesn't live out His commands. Then this individual is a liar and a stranger to the truth. See, John is saying it's not just another kind of Christian, but it's somebody that's an imposter. They're a liar. People who love God and obey what He has to say in Scripture, as John says, those are people who are in the light and are believers. People who don't and still claim to be Christians, John says they're liars and imposters. So I know some of you in your mind are saying, don't judge me. Don't find fault with me. But I want to tell you that I'm not judging anybody. I'm just delivering the mail. You know? And it's John that wrote the letter. He's the one that's telling us. He's the one that's saying. And it's up to us to say, the hard fact is I need to start to obey what God says to me. Because I've been playing games with this. And this is what the Lord says I need to be doing. And some people say, well, I don't want anybody to be speaking into my life. You know, a lot of people don't read the Bible anymore because they don't want to read the things that they hear and are reminded that they shouldn't be engaged in. Or an attitude that they shouldn't keep. And if they read it in Scripture, it sort of rubs them a bit. So they want to stay away from it. So they don't read the Bible. Maybe they don't go to a Bible study group anymore because they don't want somebody to say, thus saith the Lord. You know, that old phrase, thus saith the Lord. They don't want to hear that because, you know, they've set up their life. John is saying, whoever claims to live in Him must walk as Jesus did. So the goal is, as we walk with Jesus, our goal is to get reconnected with God. So many people want to be just simply independent and all, you know, I want to be an independent soul, I want to do it my way. You know, dear Frank sang his song, I did it my way. But the fact is that you get to know God and you get to know Jesus, you want to be more dependent. We want to be dependent on God. And that's what we need to do. I'm going to just skip ahead, way ahead, because I promised that we were going to end at 11:30, and because we've got this special meeting, and it's so important. The other big point in all of this is loving other people. Okay, we love God. And we love other people. Are there some people that you no longer love? Christian kind of folks? Anyone who claims to be in the light and still doesn't love their brother? have to ask the question. They have to ask the question. It's not for us to ask them this question. They need to ask it of themselves. Do they still love? You know, there might be other people around. You know, your wife's ex-boyfriend. Your husband's ex-girlfriend. Maybe the father that walked out on you. But you know what? It's not that bad because there's only that one person in my life that I hate. You know, I get along with most other people, but I just can't do it with those people. And that's a problem. Everyone likes to think that they're the exception to the rule. I've been hurt so deeply that I have the right to be angry. I have the right to be ticked off. I have the right to hate someone else. And John simply says, anyone who claims to be in the light. Now, I know that there's a lot of people whose lives have been hurt deeply by others, whose lives have been affected by what others have done to you. I've experienced that. I know what that's about. But you know what? We have to be people who follow what Jesus says. You know? Some people might say, well, yeah, I'm a Christian. I walk with God. I love the Lord. I even go to FBC. I read the Bible. I sing the songs. I put up with Jack's bantering for, I was not quite an hour a week. I walk in the light. Anyone who claims to be in the light but still hates his brother is still where? They're in the darkness. What does that mean to us? So we have to ask the question, who do we hate? Who do we hold at an arm's distance? Who, if they died and went to hell, you wouldn't shed a tear for? In fact, you'd maybe go out and whack a piñata and praise the Lord because they're out of your hair. I mean, are there people like that? Do you wrestle with that? Do you suffer with that? I want to suggest that we need to come to grips with that and say, no, I don't want to do that. I want to confess that before God, because that is walking in the darkness. The last thing, and I have a minute there, I think. I knew it. I want to ask you, as a husband and wife, if you're a husband and wife today, and I don't want to exclude people, but I want to address some husbands and wives. Sometimes we need somebody to speak into our life. Sometimes we need somebody to take us and speak to us about stuff. And very often, we need to go out and maybe find somebody and just simply say to them, you know, I've watched, I really respect you. Could you speak into my life? Could you make God's word authoritative in my life by holding me accountable? Some of you need to do that with somebody else, but some of us need to do that with our spouse. You know, too many guys, it seems, very often sort of function sort of in that meathead caveman sleeping on the couch view of leadership and headship. And they simply function, you know, I'm the man, you're the woman, I make the orders and you implement them now. Which really isn't that great and brilliant. I mean, they forgot that as they read through Scripture, and I invite you to read Proverbs 19 and read the words that says that a proven wife is from the Lord. Wow. Did you know that, men?
Absolutely.
Absolutely. A proven wife is from the Lord. And so, men, and this is a direction for the men today. I want you to do this. I want to invite you. And I want you to take your sweetheart and I want you to say to her, I invite you. You see all of me. You know me like no one else. I invite you to speak into my life. When you see me sin, when there's folly and error. Speak to me nicely, please. Because you need to know that men are really fragile. We break easily. I mean, I want to tell you that. We really do. And you know, most men, a little bit of criticism from a woman, and a woman they respect and love, and they're down on the floor in a fetal position sucking their thumb. So you know, be nice. But, speak to me. Speak into my life. Bring light where it's obvious that there's darkness. And if you see darkness, be there and bring light. I won't ask for a show of hands of how many people do that already, but we need to do that. We need to do that. We need to be people that say, yes, I want the darkness out of my life. You know who sees that 2% of darkness or knows about that 2% of darkness that may be in your life that affects and challenges much of your life? Is your partner. Your partner sees that. And so in the same way, men, you need to provide that direction for your wife as well, but in the same grace that she will provide it for you. But ultimately, we need to hear those words from someone else. I don't want to live in the dark. I don't want that little bit of darkness that I might tolerate, that habitual, unconfessed sin that may be a part of my life. I don't know if you may download a bit of porn once a month and you think, oh, that's okay. You know, it's just once a month. It's no big deal. Or maybe you're in an office place where you find yourself flirting with somebody else who's not your partner. Whether you're a man or a woman and you're flirting with somebody, they're not your partner, but you know, a little flirting's fun for life, right? Or maybe there's other things that go on. You're not getting really emotionally or physically involved, but you know what? Your mind is wandering in the dark. And John says here, you know, it's like you're wandering in the dark and you're blinded by the darkness and it just keeps getting darker and you don't know what the light is. How many of you guys have when you got married you still kept a night light out in the hallway so that in the night if you have to go down the hall you don't stub your toe, right? And because we hate darkness. We don't like the darkness. You go down into the basement and you think there's an axe murderer down there or something. Because it's dark. And you don't want to be part of it. And so we bring light to those situations. We need to be people who are willing to bring that little bit of... In those dark situations in our life, we need to be willing to bring light to them. Because we do stumble. And we find that we can't see correctly. And so I'm going to leave it there. My prayer for us, don't be a fool in the darkness. Father in heaven, thank you for your word that just challenges our hearts. Father, speak to each of us individually and personally. This is not a group event, Father. This is a private event, an event in which we are hearing from your word that speaks to our lives and our hearts. And so, Father, just pray that you would speak to us. In Jesus' name, amen.